Day 43 of Israel's genocidal war on Gaza. Regime continues pounding the besieged territory, pushing the death toll to over 12,000, mostly women and children. Lebanon's Hezbollah movement launches fresh attacks on Israeli targets in retaliation for the regime's atrocities against Palestinians in Gaza. And people in Iran hold nationwide rallies to show solidarity with Palestinians and condemn Israel's massacre of civilians in Gaza. Hello everyone, thank you for tuning in to World News. It's now the 43rd day since Israel launched its genocidal war on the Gaza Strip, where children's distressing cries of pain are reverberating. Latest videos from a hospital in the southern city of Khan Yunis show Palestinian kids suffering from injuries sustained during an Israeli airstrike. The bombardment of Khan Yunis has killed around 30 people, most of them children. In central Gaza city of Deir al-Balah, six Palestinians lost their lives in an air attack on a home. Total death toll from relentless Israeli bombing and shelling is now at over 12,000. Women and children make up a majority of the victims. Hospitals have been one of the prime targets of regime airstrikes since October 7th. One of the hardest hit health facilities is Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City, hosting over 300 patients in addition to civilians taking shelter there. The Israeli military has now given an ultimatum to the medics there, patients, and displaced at the hospital to evacuate within an hour. The military wing of Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says group has prepared itself for a long defensive in the face of the Israeli onslaught on Gaza. The Al-Qassam Brigade says the longer Israel stays in Gaza, the heavier it will suffer. The spokesman Abu Obeida says the Al-Qassam fighters are chasing regime forces from street to street. According to Abu Obeida, Hamas fighters have destroyed 62 Israeli military vehicles in the past 4 days. He says this is besides destroying several buildings where Israeli soldiers were hiding. Spokesman said Hamas fighters killed at least 9 soldiers at one such site. Abu Bid also says Hamas fighters have fired a barrage of missiles deep into occupied territories, including Tel Aviv. Israeli forces are facing fierce resistance from Palestinian groups as the regime continues its ground operation inside Gaza. The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah says it shot down an Israeli Hermes drone over the northern part of the occupied Palestinian territories. The group earlier said it struck 7 Israeli targets with what it called appropriate weapons and inflicted damage on them. An Israeli tank was also hit near the Brani barracks. The group said its attacks are in response to Israeli crimes against Palestinians in Gaza. Meanwhile, the Israeli regime shelled several areas in southern Lebanon. Area along the Lebanese southern border has witnessed exchanges of fire between Hezbollah and the Israeli regime forces since October 8th. That was a day after Palestinian resistance launched Operation Al-Aqsa Flood against Israel. Several Israeli settlements in northern occupied territories have been evacuated due to Hezbollah attacks. 5 Palestinians killed and 2 injured near Nablus in the town of Balata by Israeli regime airstrikes. As soon as we get this developed, we'll get out to you accordingly. Meanwhile, Iranians have held nationwide rallies in solidarity with Palestinians who are still under relentless Israeli attacks for weeks now. Thousands of people from all walks of life hit the streets of different cities and provinces expressing outrage at the ongoing Israeli bloodshed in Gaza. They waved Palestinian flags and chanted slogans against the occupying Israeli regime and its Western backer, the U.S. in particular. The protesters also censured Tel Aviv for massacring innocent civilians and called for the regime to be taken to task for its crimes. Iranians have held several rallies since Israel launched its brutal war on the impoverished Palestinian territory nearly 1.5 months ago. Now joining us for more on the story is Mona Candil from Ramallah, and Saad Nimr, professor of political science from Brzezet University, also from occupied Ramallah. Hello, and I'd like to welcome both to the program. We'll start with our correspondent there, Mona. Hope you're safe, doing well. Yesterday there was an attack on Jenin. Apparently right now, breaking news, it's, I guess, time for the regime to focus on Nablus. What can you tell us?
That's right. Unfortunately, it seems it's the time now on the Nablus city and the refugee camp of Balata. After midnight, Israeli aircraft, let's say, carried out a strike on a building in the refugee camp of Balata. And this led to the killing of five Palestinians. What happened? First, Palestinians have thought it was a drone attack on the building, the headquarters of Fatah movement in Balata refugee camp. However, in the early hours of Saturday, it seems that it was a warcraft and not a drone, because it caused severe damage. It's not a simple explosion or a strike. The whole building had been destroyed. The five Palestinians who had been killed in Balata refugee camp and two others had been seriously wounded. The Israeli military issued a statement saying that its military and the security services have carried out an operation in the Balata refugee camp. They said their aircraft fired missiles at a building without mentioning what's the kind of this aircraft. But they revealed that they struck a Palestinian cell, as they said, and that they succeeded to kill at least one of those who had been murdered was a wanted Palestinian, a member of Fatah's Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigades, and that this Palestinian cell were planning to carry out anti-Israeli operations, of course, against the Israeli soldiers. In addition to those five Palestinians who had been killed, and of course we have to mention that following this this strike, Israeli forces raided the Balata refugee camp, destroyed the roads, caused damage in the refugee camp of Balata, and also destroyed a home. It's not a home for a Palestinian prisoner, not the home of a Palestinian martyr who carried out an operation. And of course, the family members of this home were not informed that their home would be destroyed. However, it was already empty and was destroyed by the Israeli forces. In addition to those five Palestinians who had been killed, Israeli forces raided Tobas area. Clashes erupted between the Palestinians and the Israelis, and the Israeli soldiers murdered yet one more Palestinian there, and two Palestinians had been wounded. This means that the number of Palestinians who had been killed by the Israeli forces since the beginning of its war on the Gaza Strip, only here in the occupied West Bank, they have killed 212 Palestinians, in addition to thousands others had been wounded.
And Mona, it seems that the regime is not only pursuing resistance fighters in the occupied West Bank, but it seems activists, protesters, especially protest organizers, bloggers, and other voices of dissent.
Exactly. Today alone, we are speaking about 40 Palestinians had been arrested. And of course, not all of those who had been detained by the Israeli forces were Palestinian fighters or those members of the resistance groups or those, at the end of the day, holding arms. No. Many of those who were detained were Palestinian activists, people from all walks of life, children, women, university students, normal people, civilians. Many were detained for expressing their rejection of the war, of the genocide being carried out against the people of the Gaza Strip, and the Israeli military considers such statements as incitement against the Israeli regime and the Israeli soldiers. People had been detained on military checkpoints after the Israeli soldiers had checked their mobiles. They saw that those Palestinians were watching videos for the crimes being committed against the Gaza Strip, or even videos for the Palestinian resistance. They had been detained for what so-called, there's a new law had been adopted by the Israelis called consumption or consumption of materials that is considered terrorist materials against the Israeli regime. Today, according to the Palestinian Prisoners Society, over 2,850 Palestinians were detained since the 7th of October in the occupied West Bank, in addition to over 4,500 Palestinians had been already languishing in Israeli jails. The situation of the Palestinian prisoners is really hard and difficult, according to those who had been recently released, and at the end of the day, the Israeli military is not allowing lawyers to have a contact or to visit those who had been recently detained. Many of those who had been recently detained are also being held under the so-called administrative detention without charge or trial, because at the end of the day, there are nothing against them. They are normal Palestinians rejecting the Israeli occupation, calling for their freedom and immediate ceasefire, immediate stop of the genocide being carried out against the brothers and sisters in the Gaza Strip.
And Mona, and I believe of those thousands that detained, a few have actually died in Israeli custody under very suspicious circumstances.
Exactly. Five Palestinian prisoners were killed in these jails. And let me say they had been killed. These were remarks made by the Commission of Prisoners Affairs and by the Prisoners Society. They said that the death of those Palestinians were not normal. Two of those who had been killed behind bars were from the Gaza Strip, were Palestinian workers who had been working in lands occupied in 1948, and then with the start of the war on the Gaza Strip, they had been sent to the occupied West Bank. However, they were detained like thousands of Palestinians here, and of course, they had been tortured. We are speaking about young Palestinians. We are not speaking about elderly that at the end of the day, the Israelis can say that they were sick or ill. They were young Palestinians in the 30s or 40s, and it's accurate. Obviously, it's clear that they had been tortured and mistreated by the Israelis. So five Palestinian prisoners were murdered behind bars, and at least one of them, his identity had not been revealed by the Israeli soldiers.
Thank you, Mona Kandil, they're joining us from Ramallah. Professor Saad Nimr, also joining us from Ramallah. Thank you for your patience, Professor Nimr. And you and Mona, both of you are out of occupied Ramallah, probably much better informed than we are about the Israeli crackdown on Palestinians there in the occupied West Bank over the last 43 days. Your initial thoughts, please.
What we are witnessing since the beginning of this war, if can we call it the war, genocide against the Palestinian, is an increase and an escalation of the Israeli measures in the West Bank, in all of the areas and all districts, and it is a kind of a campaign by the Israeli military and the settlers against the Palestinians. The increase in the escalation of these atrocities against the Palestinians are really unprecedented. What we are witnessing, more than 200 Palestinians were killed within these 40 days. We are talking about around 3,000 Palestinians were detained. We are talking about houses which was demolished We are talking about a grabbing of land and also displacing of Palestinian communities by the settlers. So there is a campaign against the Palestinians. It's a kind of, I don't think that there is a kind of a target, a real target for the Israeli, apart from expressing their hatred and their real face, you know, against the Palestinians. It is a kind of revenge for the Palestinians for what happened in Gaza on the 7th of October. So nowadays it's really very, very bad. And even the worst, that's cutting off the and sieging the cities and the villages from each other. Already we are talking about over 800 roadblocks. It exists in the West Bank, in addition to other roadblocks which was implemented after this war. Now they are cutting off all cities from each other and the cities from the villages, and this affecting the Palestinians really in a hard way, because now for instance the Minister of Education declared that the education for children will be online, because teachers can't reach their schools, nor children can reach also their schools sometimes. So, and because of the incursions and the attacks for the cities, even children are not safe, so they have to go for the online teaching. It means that cutting off cities from each other, that now each city on its own, and it's the villages are also isolated, and that will affect the Palestinian directly, not only by the killing and the arresting, but also economically, as well as connection between the Palestinians.
Thank you, Professor. Always a pleasure to check in with you. Do stay safe till we speak again. Appreciate your presence here on the program. Saad Nimr, Professor of Political Science, joining us from Birzeit University out of occupied Ramallah. That's it for your latest here, everyone. Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
The Zionist regime's siege paralyzes civil defense teams and cuts off people from each other, leaving many worried about the fate of their families in the Gaza Strip. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, Gaza photographer Maha Al-Astal is inundated with pleas from people whose loved ones in Gaza are missing or feared killed in the Zionist regime's airstrikes. She told Middle East Eye, They implore me and others with a large social media following to relay their messages to those who remain in northern Gaza to join their rescue efforts. They send us desperate requests to share their stories on social media platforms. In the midst of intense Israeli regime airstrikes, the disruption of mobile networks and the severe reduction of telecommunication signals along the primary routes, as reported by Palestinian telecoms provider Paltel, multiple times during October and November have undermined rescue efforts in Gaza. Samir Al-Khatib, the deputy director of Gaza Civil Defense, told Middle East Eye that the interruption of telecommunication services has disconnected them from those seeking help. The previously available free hotline for the civil defense has been halted. As a result, they now have to rely on hearing explosions from various locations to determine where to respond. Additionally, they depend on pleas from individuals who approach them and provide a specific location information. Fast communication during bombings plays a vital role in saving the victims, but the Zionist regime has halted it. Al Astal, who has 90,000 followers on Instagram, is among many Palestinian social media users and influencers who are frequently approached by those seeking to locate missing people in the densely populated Gaza Strip, which has been under daily bombardment for 38 days, with most casualties killed in bombardments of homes, hospitals, and other civilian infrastructure. Maha feels she has a duty to rely these voices, utilizing her wide reach, she said. I wish I could do anything else. I pray for their safety. In one Instagram post, she published a call for help by a Palestinian woman who has said her husband and family were trapped in a residential building that was under Israeli regime airstrikes and was being besieged by tanks. According to the woman, they contacted the International Committee of the Red Cross officials but had not received a response. Likewise, Noor Surki, a local journalist now based in Khan Yunis in southern Gaza after leaving the north with her family, has only been sharing numerous appeals from individuals in distress. One of the pleas was regarding her cousin who went missing in Gaza. I don't know what happened to him. I shared his story. The last information we have is that he went outside in search of clean water for his brother, who is suffering from kidney failure, she said. She added that in addition to social media, people often direct their pleas to the International Red Crescent Committee, whom they believe to be responsible or present in the region. Those based abroad are also joining efforts to amplify the calls for help on their social media pages. Palestinian social media user Dima Khayal, a sales and marketing professional based in Turkey with more than 13,000 followers, said she receives many messages on Facebook asking for help. Most of her followers are from Gaza, she said. I receive dozens of pleas every day. Regrettably, within the plethora of published appeals, few receive any help from ICRC or civil defense or ambulance services. It's almost impossible to reach the bombed areas. Everyone keeps telling me the situation is dire. Prior to the war, the 32-year-old Khayal managed a Facebook group with over 200,000 subscribers from the Gaza Strip, focusing on providing information and guidance to travelers, whether they are departing from or returning to Gaza. We used to assist Gaza students in expediting their departure from the Gaza Strip by communicating with the crossing authorities. We used to bring those unavailable medications from Egypt to Gaza. Now the group is filled with pleas for people trapped under the rubble and pleas for humanitarian assistance, she said. While Khayal lives in Turkey along with her mother and sister, many of her uncles and extended relatives are still in northern Gaza, where the fierce ground battles and bombardment are taking place. She told Middle East Eye, "I would like to help them. I would like to make their voices heard. But unfortunately, we cannot do anything in this situation. Of course, it is a very difficult feeling. Imagine that I received a plea that there were more than 7 families bombed in Rimal neighborhood, and no one was able to help them. An elderly woman who was killed in the same area, and a girl who was wounded and bled to death in the street." Yara Aid, a Palestinian journalist based in the UK, has also been sharing similar pleas. Recently, as Israeli regime forces besieged Al-Shifa Hospital in the northern part of Gaza, she posted on X calling for help for her friend and his family of 13 people stranded in the fighting. She said tearfully, "I'm calling the international community, please do something. My friend and his family are stuck next to a house that got bombed. They're unable to move. The Israeli regime tanks are there. They're unable to do anything. They are civilians. They are innocent. 13 people with their children. Their dad got a stroke and they cannot move. Please, guys, share this. Please, please." Aya Abu Habal was among those who used social media to look for missing family. When an Israeli regime airstrike hit a home where her husband, Ahmad, was sheltering in Gaza City, on October 25th, she took to Facebook to post a plea for help to locate her husband, but it was too late. When civil defense services and firefighters arrived at the scene, they were able to rescue a few people from the rubble, she said, but then they had to move to another bombed area to assist with rescue efforts there, as the survival rates were expected to be higher. Her father-in-law rushed to the scene to try to excavate the body of his son. He told the Middle East Eye, "There is no hope now. The Israeli rocket leveled the tower."
Joining us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. Over the past 75 years of the occupation of the Palestinian territories, the Israeli regime, thanks to the biased coverage of the Western mainstream media, has been using propaganda and disinformation to justify its atrocities against the people of Palestine. In the ongoing war on Gaza, Israel has once again used similar methods, which are seen as the Israelis trying to play the victim card and legitimize the genocide in Gaza. It seems that the Israeli regime is losing the narrative on Gaza, given the mounting global support for the Palestinians and anti-Israel campaigns, both on the streets and in social media as well. Joining us on tonight's Spotlight, we have Lee Zangler, author and political activist, joining us from Montreal. And also spokesperson of the Masar Baril Movement, Mr. Khaled Barakat, joining us from Vancouver. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Mr. Engler in Montreal. Given the increased level of support that we're seeing out on the streets for the Palestinian cause and the opposition to the Israeli war. Mr. Engler, would you say that the Israelis have lost in the court of public opinion?
They've been very damaged.